This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, May 5th. I'm Patricia Naft. It's 8 o'clock. The Bureau of Land Management's draft resource management plan for the North Fork Valley was to be rolled out this month. Now the timetable is for early fall. The final plan will determine the way public land here will be managed for years to come. Jim Ramey, director of the Paonia-based Citizens for a Healthy Community, hopes the final preferred option will include the citizen-initiated North Fork Alternative Plan, which calls for sharply limiting oil and gas extraction to protect water, agriculture, recreation, and quality of life. KVNF's Marty Derlin has more.
Ramey said his organization is talking with decision makers in the nation's capital about protecting the North Fork.
Right now, we're getting ready to go back and brief our BLM staff in Washington, our senators, Representative Tipton, to meet with their staff and to be able to brief them on the North Fork Alternative Plan in person, heading back to D.C. next week with a group of North Forkers for meetings, and we'll keep folks posted on how that goes. We're also, Citizens for a Healthy Community is continuing efforts to try to make the case for legislative protection for the North Fork, because we believe this is a unique, distinct place that deserves to be protected permanently. We have such a dependent relationship with our public lands that contain our irrigation ditches, water supply, wildlife habitat, the scenic backdrop for the community. The list goes on and on and on. We believe those should be protected permanently.
The CHC is also looking ahead, requesting documents through the Freedom of Information Act about a proposed development just 12 miles northwest of Paonia in the Pilot's Knob Springhouse Park area. A company called Petrox has targeted the area for 50 new gas wells.
It's some of the last remaining roadless country in the state, so something worth protecting. But here we have a project that's been proposed for new road building, new well pad clearing in this roadless area, bringing the heavy industrial development of oil and gas drilling and fracking into this protected or supposedly protected landscape seem like really conflicting uses.
For KVNF, I'm Marty Derlin.
One of the key wildfire prevention measures of this year's legislative session is in jeopardy of failing. The proposal has cleared the House, but as Benta Berkland reports, it faces new opposition in the Senate.
Paul Cook is director of the Department of Public Safety, Division of Fire Safety and Control. He told a bipartisan committee of lawmakers that Colorado needs to increase the use of technology and share resources, such as air tankers, to combat wildfires.
Our wildland fire season used to be 2.5 months or 3 months in the state of Colorado. We no longer have a 2.5 to 3 month wildfire season. Last year we had a 9.5 month wildland fire season.
And as wildfires become more expensive, destructive, and deadly, Cook says the state needs to be increasingly proactive and take preventative measures.
We have significant fire risks from overstock fuel conditions, from the insects and disease, urban development. We need to restore our landscape to healthy, resilient states, and that would in itself lead to a tremendous cost savings in wildland fire suppression.
But Democratic Senator Jeannie Nicholson of Gilpin County says educating homeowners living in fire-prone areas won't be easy.
I think we have to walk in their shoes for a moment also and understand that many of them move to the wildland-urban interface thinking that they would never need to do yard work, and that they would give up their lawnmower and have more time to fish and hunt, and now they just need a chainsaw. And hard for them to grasp why they're supposed to cut down those trees that they really liked having around their house.
Nicholson says a whole population will need new skills and knowledge about fire mitigation, and she hopes insurance companies, local communities, and the state can help. The Wildfire Matters Review Committee will continue to meet in the coming months and craft legislative recommendations for next session. I'm Benta Berkland.
The Denver Post reports that state public health investigators determined there was no single cause or link in a rash of rare fetal anomalies that occurred in Garfield County in late 2013. Our investigation looked at each reported case and concluded that they are not linked to any common risk factors, said Dr. Larry Walk, Executive Director and Chief Medical Officer of the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. State epidemiologists had studied 22 cases of anomalies that were found in prenatal ultrasounds and reported by two clinics in Glenwood Springs. The anomalies included cardiac and chromosomal deformities. The state investigators looked at more than a dozen factors that possibly could have established a link, including where conception took place, where the mother lived when the anomaly was found, age, health, and ethnicity, mother's use of medications, supplements, alcohol and tobacco, family history, drinking water sources, and proximity to oil and gas wells. The cases were spread from Rifle to Carbondale and occurred over about a 3-month period. Wolk said in a press release that there is no way to say if the number of cases was higher than those found in the general population because there are no state or federal registry of pre-birth anomalies, which mainly track defects after children are born. The investigation was the first in the state to look at birth defects found through ultrasounds early in pregnancies. A PDF of the state's full Glenwood Springs prenatal report can be found online. A bill to require stricter labels for edible marijuana products faced a setback last week in the State Senate Health and Human Services Committee voted to study the issue rather than move forward with new labels. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Currently, Colorado has standards for childproof packaging, but House Bill 1366 would have gone a step farther and required standard colors, stamps, or a symbol on actual pop brownies, candies, and other infused products. Democratic Senator Michael Johnston of Denver is one of the main sponsors of the proposal. He says it's difficult to determine if an edible contains marijuana when it's no longer inside the packaging.
We just want to make sure it's very easy for parents who are trying to supervise their kids or consenting adults who are trying to make responsible decisions when they're at a party to know exactly what they're eating before they eat it.
Supporters say the bill would cut down on accidental ingestion and hospital visits. TJ Wainwright is a freshman at Golden High School. He says many students eat edibles because it's harder to get caught.
Not even last week, a kid at my school was sent to the hospital due to an overdose of edible marijuana. He had a seizure and convulsions, and it's packaged to look like regular candy and brownies, as you can see. And it just makes it more easier to hide, and it's dangerous.
And while the measure has bipartisan support, it's also divided lawmakers and members of the marijuana industry. Dan Englund works for Edipure, an edibles manufacturer. He says the proposal is difficult to enforce and would limit the products.
Who is going to make a determination of what size, what shape, what color, what stamp will prevent someone from putting this into their mouth? What science exists that tells us what people aren't going to put into their mouth right now?
I think everybody agrees that there is a risk to children and to adults with the products that exist. I think what we probably disagree on some is what's the best way to fix that.
That's Democratic Senator Irene Aguilar of Denver. She proposed an amendment to change the bill to a study. She says labeling could just be one part of the answer.
For me, a bigger fundamental question is size of dose packs. I mean, why would you give somebody a cookie that has 10 doses in it when it's a single cookie?
The sponsors called the amendment dramatic, saying it's important to craft new rules sooner rather than later. Republican sponsor Steve King of Grand Junction says if lawmakers don't address the issue, the public may come up with something industry likes even less.
I think that if you want to see a ban of edibles in Colorado, you will see parents going to the polls and voting to change the Constitution because of our children.
The bill now heads to the full Senate for further debate. Supporters say they prefer the measure in its original form and hope to reach a compromise. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Stay tuned for the Go Betty show and the Monday morning music mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.